When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People can be funny and a little mean simultaneously. For instance, El Vaquero in the Travis Lee All-Star community.
El Vaquero, yeah.
Why is everybody so down? We already won it this year, and he's attached a video of the in-season tournament celebration.
We did hang a banner.
I did look up yesterday. There was There was a moment during the game where I just looked up there, and I'm like, is that thing still there?
Oh, yeah. It's still there.
Really right next to...
High watermark of the season, arguably.
How angry I got that it was going up. I think I was the only... I think I was like a 10% of the get off my lawn guy with the banner.
I wouldn't have put it up. It didn't bother me nearly as much as it bothered you, but I wouldn't have hung it up.
It was like Malibu real estate on the ocean, and they put a storage unit instead of a home.
One of those pods, one of those cans that sits in your front yard.
It's taking up... this lot.
DJ Trunks writes, even though both teams got swept, which Laker team looks better, last year or this year? That's a really interesting one, because I think this kind of illustrates our point.
Easy. Oh, last year's team looks a lot better.
I don't know.
A lot better.
And before we hear the counterpoint, this team feels much further away from where Laker fans, Laker players, Laker brass wants to be. Now, recency bias is a part of it. Just simply, this is the first round. Last year was the third round. I understand that. But those games last year felt competitive. Those games last year felt that even though they all followed a similar pattern, you were still slightly optimistic that, hey, maybe this time it's going to turn out different. Now we have three more games of data. We have a full season's worth of data on Darvin Ham again.
Bro, they're being exposed like no
absolutely.
Like
LeBron is a year older. Mm-hmm. You know, the supporting cast is a year less good, however you want to characterize that. And is it just the newness of it all?
I think that, one, we had the bias of last year seeing them go through two series before, thinking that they're better than they are. So this year, if they got the Thunder in the first round, we might think differently about how good this Lakers team is. Last year, I'm looking at the scores. The scores are pretty similar.
They are.
And I feel like the feeling then is very similar to what we had now. And I think that we say
Rui was good. And there were other... like
D'Lo was bad.
D'Lo was bad, but look...
Reeves wasn't as good.
The D'Angelo Russell thing, if anybody would have taken the time to listen to what I was saying, don't get fooled. I wasn't saying he's going to be bad, but I'm not even a little surprised that he was bad. He's been what he's been in this series, ice cold or kind of hot. It's who he is. And in the playoffs, he's far more often cold than he is hot.
Here's D'Lo.
That's what it is.
Where he hurts himself the most. If your shot's not falling, if the shot's not going... did you do anything else?
Right.
Did you get 7-8 dimes?
Right.
Did you? How's your body language? There's so many more things you could do if your shot's not falling. D'Lo has placed himself in a corner right now, where, do you know how many minutes he got yesterday? Throw it out. How many minutes do you think he got yesterday?
35.
Okay. It's a good guess.
Yeah.
Got 24 minutes.
Wow.
Do you know Gabe Vincent got 22 and Spencer Dinwiddie got 20? Do you know why I'm telling you that? Last night was last year. My brother, we're pulling you out of the game.
Yeah. Well, he's not making shots.
Well, you're not. Okay, but that's kind of the point, is there's nothing else he brings to the table if his three's not falling.
Bad attitude.
You're right.
That's something.
Eating whatever he was eating on the side of the bench.
Was he eating? I couldn't tell what was going on.
It looks like he was like pulling something from a bag and putting it in his mouth is what it looked like to me. But again, it doesn't really matter what he's doing.
Do you know those like licorice that you, what are the sour,
the Sour Patch ropes?
Yeah.
It also could have been like a gummy chew, you like, know, those things that you
like
energy
candy.
Like I like guys that wear their emotions on their sleeves a lot of time, because it's real. We get mad, we get frustrated, we get excited.
Austin Reeves, I think at one point with Phil Handy, put his head on his shoulder win.
I'm okay with emotions, but you can't be a bad teammate. You can be mad, like you can be frustrated, but hey, we're all over here. We're together. We're getting our butt kicked again, but we're all over here together. We're going through it together. You can't be the guy sitting off on the side by yourself. Like, I'm okay with being mad. I'm okay with going to the press conference and being front. But yeah. Can you come stand with us? I don't think that's asking.
You know
a lot.
Who could be on the side there? If it's Christian Wood, because he's not in the game and he's wearing his street clothes.
Yeah,
not D'Angelo Russell.
Steve in Corona. Steve, you're on with Travin Slee. What's up, Steve?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. At what point do we hold Rob Pelinka responsible for all of this? When you think about it, they blew out Luke Walton under they didn't hire him. Jim Buskowitz objected, and that's fine. You bring in Frank Vogel, wins you a championship, you blow him out. You could have brought in Tyronn Lue, who I thought would have been a better match with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but they didn't hire him over the coaching staff squabble that they were having. So you blow out Frank Vogel and you don't hire Tyronn Lue. And now you're about to blow out Darvin Ham. The Russell Westbrook trade was a disaster. D'Angelo Russell, not much better. There's just all sorts of things that I can point to in which Rob Pelinka, who's both vice president of basketball operations as well as general manager, why he's no longer qualified to do this job. But if I'm the Lakers, I don't know if I want Rob Pelinka hiring our next coach.
Okay.
Or building our next roster.
Steve, I think you bring up a good point, and I think it's a very fair point, and I think it's a good question. I think that you've put your finger on Rob Pelinka specifically. I'm going to pull it out a little bit more widely. I want to make it the decision-making team, okay? So that includes Jeannie Buss. That includes Rob Pelinka. That includes LeBron James. That includes Clutch.
Kurt Rambis.
All of the people that we know are involved in the decision-making process of the Lakers. Number one, the fact that we just rattled off 7 or 8 or 9 names, that's part of the problem, right? That they're constantly changing tack. They're constantly deciding, no left, no right, no forward, no back. It doesn't seem like they have a vision on, I want to get over there, and this is how we're going to do it. It's the Nuggets do, the Warriors do, these teams that the Heat have a very clear vision on how they want to play and how they want to structure their teams. And I think that's what really long-term success looks like, is vision. Not that you're not going to make slight adjustments along the way, and not that you have your head in the sand that you know this is the way I do it and you're not open to other things. But the entire decision-making apparatus has failed the Lakers. And that's the part to me. Look, players come and go. You're always going to have new players. Coaches, quite frankly, even come or go. But the people that are selecting the players, selecting the coaches, and selecting the vision of the team, they tend to stay a little bit longer than everyone else. And that's a huge part of the problem. That the decision-making apparatus here doesn't fill me with confidence on, okay, the Lakers are in a bad spot right now. They're going to go out in the first round in short order, and their best guys are getting older. It doesn't look good. They don't have a ton of optionality as far as picks and money and all that. It's a little bit. It's not nothing. But the people that are in charge of saying, okay, here's how this is fixed, I don't have a ton of faith in them. That's arguably the most disappointing part of it. LeBron is going to be old and gone eventually. I don't think it's going to be next year. He's still really effective. Anthony Davis is going to be here. He's still an incredibly good player. But how do you build everything else around? How do you build a staff? How do you build which head coach have you identified as your next guy? All of those things, I don't know.
Well, and the system looks broken. You know, I think the entire system looks broken right now. I'm going to go back to something that we talked about a little bit earlier, that your star players have to have a certain quality of leadership right now that even if the Denver Nuggets are just better than us, let's rally the troops around. Do you feel like that huddle is cohesive? Do you feel like, okay, I don't think so. Okay, you're looking at your head coach. Does it feel like Darvin Ham's bringing everybody in? I don't think so. And as you kind of take that little wider lens, it's, I don't know what the fix is. I don't know if there is an easy fix. At what point do you start saying to yourself, all right, well, if our goal, if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, if the goal is win championships or nothing, are you heading in a path that you feel like the front office and everybody else is pulling that rope in the same direction? You just mentioned how many different names there are in potentially making decisions. It's going to be really tough to try to find a solution. It's going to be really tough to find.
And you know what else it's going to be, Slee? It's going to take some time.
It's going to be really tough to also do it. there's always a balance of short term and long term. And unfortunately for this franchise, everything seems to be short term.
I agree. And look at the teams that have been successful over an extended period of time in recent history, right? Talking about Golden State, obviously. You're talking about Miami. You're talking Celtics? About a team like the Celtics. We're talking about the Nuggets. Yep. These are our guys. We're going to do this, and we're going to let it cook for a little bit, right? And not that you can't make changes, but there's vision. There's philosophy. There's something that leads to the next thing. And occasionally, it's, you know what? We're going to have to sit tight for a second, or we're going to have to take it on the chin for a season. The Warriors finished with the worst record in the league 1 year and won a championship right after. Mm-hmm. They're willing to wait. It's not there right now. Be patient. Let it go. The Nuggets are great. 9 years for Michael Malone. Jamal Murray's down. Don't blow it up. Let him come back. Let Jokic bake a little bit long. You're starting to see the fruit on the tree at Oklahoma City. Collect all these picks. Draft all these players. Let it go.
Minnesota.
Miami's is, we've got a really good coach. We're going to find the right role players. And our star, Jimmy Butler, is the guy that we're going to build. Like, there's a philosophy to this stuff.
It's one of the great things about the Laker franchise, and it's one of the more difficult things. One of the great things for the Laker franchise is they don't have to rebuild like everybody else. They don't. They could speed up the process. But it also is something that hurts them. When I say they could speed up the process, what I'm talking about is, hey, they're always going to get another star. Somebody's going to want to play for the Los Angeles Lakers.
True.
At the same time, there is a little bit of, sometimes you need development. Sometimes you need a couple years of saying, hey, we drafted this player and that guy came up through the system organically, rather than always, it seems like, every single season trying to go hit a home run.
The Lakers front office have a different plan every year. They don't have the long-reaching 10-year goals. If you ask them, like most interviews you interview for, hey, where do you think that you're going to be in 5 years? The Lakers have no freaking clue where they're going to be in 5 years. Each year is what's going to work for this year, and I think that has to do with LeBron James.
There's a LeBron window, but this is not exclusive to LeBron. This existed long before LeBron's arrival in Los Angeles. I think this is more a function of just the Lakers. It's a function of the expectations of the Lakers, that when Magic Johnson and that era of Showtime basketball, they're so incredibly spoiled. I want to back up a little bit to go from the Jerry West, you know, more to Kareem, to Magic, and then there's a brief lull, and then all of a sudden you're into the Shaq and Kobe era, and then there's a brief lull, and then you're right back into the Kobe and Powell era.
All of them multiple championships.
And they all almost butt right up against each other. There's little dips along the way. But it was always, those little dips were always, how are you going to fix this? And it was, well, let's go get Shaquille O'Neal. Okay, well, let's go get Pau Gasol. Let's go get LeBron James. Let's go get Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. That's just the way that the Lakers operate. And that's fine, but because they can. Very few teams can, but you're reacting in the short term to take a 10-year plan here. The only time in my recollection that it felt like they were trying to maybe at least consider it was when they had those three number two picks in a row. Like, hey, let's see what this turns into. Maybe Russell becomes a great player. Maybe
Brandon Ingram.
Gone. You know, that even then it was, hey, I wonder what we could get for these guys. That even from the moment they were here, it's, what do you think we could get for Lonzo Ball? What do you think you could get for Brandon Ingram? It's like, well, I don't know. He just got here. And they flipped it all for Anthony Davis, basically. The Lakers are so unique, but I think the fundamentals of what those other teams are doing can be applied to a degree.
I think even looking back at the year after they won the championship, they blow it up. It's just like there's clearly something that was working then, and then you blow this up. I don't know.
Now what? Now what? And there's a million different questions. We'll come back to that in just a little bit, but I want to talk NFL draft. The Rams picked a defensive player of need exactly where they were supposed to pick. Well, that wasn't very fun. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. What is fun, Slee, is Prize Picks. Prize Picks is deciding more or less, right? Are you thinking that that player, let's just say, I don't know, Nikola Jokic, is going to get more or less than the stat pick predictions, right? That's what you do at Prize Picks. Choose more or less 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 25 times your money, up to 100 times your money at Prize Picks.
All right, Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members, like Trav just mentioned. More or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. I'm looking at some of the NBA picks right now. Maybe you don't have any skin in the game in any of tonight's action, but there's a lot of good NBA playoff games. Luka, let's use that as an example. More or less than 34 points for Luka tonight. That's a very, very high point total right there. Kawhi Leonard, more or less his second playoff game this year. Obviously missed the first one. More or less than 22 points. Takes about 60 seconds to submit your entry. It definitely makes the games a lot funner. Download the app today. Use that code 710 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code 710. On Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Quick email, or I should say tweet, before we get to the Rams draft.
Email?
What the heck's the matter with me? Big E in the Travis Lee All-Star community. Hey, Trav, if everyone in your family has to decompress in the car before going inside the house,
I see you.
Has it ever dawned on you that they have to prepare to deal with you? Yes.
Touché.
It's a fair question. Counterpoint, maybe. I frequently only realize that this is happening when I'm not even home, because I arrive at home and they're sitting there.
Mm. So you pull up to somebody.
Like, I pull into
in
the driveway
car,
and the car next to me has a person in it. Like, I understand if my car were in the driveway and they're like, oh God, he's home.
Yep. Yeah, that's a little different.
I just don't want to deal with this guy today. Like, I get that, but it's frequently I'm the second or third person to arrive and they're parked in the driveway.
By the way, Big E, very fair question to put up or comment to put up there. I like that Big E's looking out for your family.
Yeah. It's very likely his theory is the better one, but I needed to defend myself. So the Rams took Jared Verse from Florida State with the 19th overall pick. They took a defensive player in a position of need, exactly where they were slotted to pick when the end of the season came around a couple of months ago. All of those things I thought would not come true. I thought that they'd go offense. Mm-hmm. I thought that they would take a player that much higher than 19. I did not think that any of these things were going to be the way that it went. And that goes to show you that nobody knows anything about the draft, because I didn't see one mock that had the Rams with Jared Verse in it.
I was just going to say, I did think that. Okay, a couple things went to mind.
By the way, Jared Verse, good pick.
Well, I'm with you. I think that right out the gate, I thought, like everybody else, all right, there's a good chance. There were some rumors out there. They're going to move up. There's some rumors out there. You know, double down. You can go put up 30 points a game. Go put up 30 points a game. That's what you're going to do. Get Matthew Stafford exactly what you want. I don't deny that they were exploring that. I don't deny that they were probably trying to move up. I think they also decided, well, we're not going to give up the farm to go. Maybe there was a player that they wanted and another team was going to fleece them to go get it. So, all right, let's just go chalk.
Doesn't make sense for him.
Best player available. If we end up staying at number 19, let's get the best player available. Maybe it is to address the defense. I think that's a fair question there. But I guess ultimately, at the end of the day, there are certain franchises, and I hate to continue to repeat this, if the Rams think that's who they should get at number 19, that why would anyone question them or argue against what
trust.
Are you doing?
They've earned our trust. I think this is a good thing. So, you know, obviously the day after the draft, there's a here's who was awesome and here's who blew their draft. The Rams showed up on neither list.
Yep.
I think that's good news.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think that
you weren't a top five pick in that happened.
That's what I mean.
Or, you know,
it's just they took the guy that I saw many people thought was the best player available, certainly the best player available at that position by the time the pick came around to the Rams. He was not the first edge off the board. I think he was the third guy. But when it was their turn to pick, who was at the top of that list? He was. Is it a position you need? Yes. Do you need to replace what Aaron Donald brought, even though he plays a different position? Yes. Can he fill multiple holes? Yes. Is he going to be a Hall of Famer? Probably not. Is he going to be a starter? Probably. That's a pretty good pick, I think, for the first round. Like, if you get a guy that's going to check all of those boxes, and who knows, if he's really good, maybe get a little more, but it's not something you jump up and down on, like, we got Bowers or Roma Dunze or one
of
those things.
It's harsh to have, like a grade that's poor on this. You know, like, we're going to look back in a couple years and, like, yeah, if he works out, you got a steal at 19. If he doesn't work out, you're like, he is 19. Like, it's like it's in the whole thing of, like, I think it's setting up for him for success instead of having this great big expectation.
I think it's funny. I think the conversation around the number 19 pick was more that they selected at number 19.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it wasn't necessarily the actual player that they got, because it's not uncommon to not know what you got
they
at that stage.
Don't aim for the middle of the fairway very often. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They go for it when they think. And I think they tried to go for it, but mm-hmm. I think that their brain kicked in and said, look, we can't pay this price for that player. It's not
impulsive.
It's not. They're not impulsive. For instance, let me paint a hypothetical for you guys. Tell me if you think this is strong management, strong executive thinking and management.
Okay.
You have a position of need.
Okay.
You identify a person to fill that vacancy, and you bring them in, and you pay them a very handsome salary. You pay that person, I don't know, let's say you offer them a four-year contract with $100 million guaranteed.
Okay.
Okay. 30 days later, you take another guy for the same job.
With the top 10 pick in the draft.
The Atlanta Falcons gave Kirk Cousins 4 years, $180 million. The $180 million is the wrong number. It's a four-year deal with $100 million guaranteed.
Yep.
They just drafted Michael Penix, who is really good, but he's also old. He's also injured multiple times. He's had two ACL injuries. He's had two shoulder surgeries. You moved up to get him, and you're taking a guy to replace the guy you just signed to $180 million guarantee before he's had a chance to throw a single pass. This is the opposite of what we just talked about. This is the thing that everybody that talks about the NFL draft woke up this morning and said, what the hell are the Falcons doing?
And that's literally every expert out there is asking the same question. By the way, then you got a field question. What's the report yesterday that the agent for Cousins is talking for Cousins, basically saying, yeah, he's confused of why they went with that pick. Then you're trying to justify it last night and certainly into this morning as well. Can I paint a picture for you real quick? They just paid him $100 million 4 years, guaranteed. What happens if, just hypothetically, because this is not uncommon in the NFL at all, and this is you start getting pressure from your fan base. Let's just say things aren't going as planned through the first 10 games of the season.
4-6.
They're 4-6, the Atlanta Falcons. What happens when now all of a sudden the local media and the fans are saying, well, let's just try this quarterback that you selected with a number 8 pick in the draft, which, by the way, is not that uncommon other than the fact that
not
you just signed.
Not if you just signed a guy for $100 million.
Other than the fact that you just signed somebody to, like you said, a 4-year deal.
This is bad for Cousins. This is bad for Penix. This is bad for Raheem Morris. All three people took it in the shorts last night because Cousins is immediately on the, well, let's go do it. Penix is like, he just put me in a no-win situation.
Sure.
And by the way, Penix's clock is ticking louder than your average rookie drafted quarterback because him and Bo Nix are basically senior citizens by draft standards. Mm-hmm. Raheem Morris is a brand new head coach who's been dropped in. He was handed a quarterback controversy before the season even started.
What's the problem?
Disaster.
So is it the GM's fault? Is it the owner? Because the owner in the video that we see doesn't look like he knew.
I would imagine Arthur Blank is the owner of the Falcons. I would imagine that before the very first pick of your draft, your first round pick, especially if it's a top 10 pick, the owner's got to at least sign off on it, right?
If it's a first round pick in the top 10.
I would think so. And especially if it's something as whack as this.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Blank, just wanted, but before we put the card in, we're going to take Michael Penix. Didn't we just give Kirk Cousins $100 million like 30 days ago? Yes. You're going to do what? We're going to take a quarterback. He's like really young, right? We're going to put him on the shelf and season him for a while. No. He actually played 11 years of college football. But he's healthy and he's awesome, right? Actually, he's had two knee reconstructions. Yeah, but his arm's good. Well, actually, he had a shoulder surgery too.
It nearly fell off.
Yeah. We're going to do what? Yeah, we're going to take him. You told Kirk Cousins and he's good with it? No, we haven't called him yet.
We'll call him when we're on the clock.
In what world does this work out? In what world does it
go well? I know this isn't who he is, like on almost like a molecular DNA level. That if you watched quarterback, if you've watched him at Michigan State, if you watched him in Washington, like Kirk Cousins is corny to the degree of it being like deeply endearing and charming.
He's Coles in a person.
Yes. I would be raising holy hell right now if I were Kirk Cousins.
Sure.
I would
and
be
he's
saying,
got every right to.
Get me the hell out of here. I did not sign up for this clown car. You got to be kidding me. Do you know what you just did to me? Do you know that I had options to go to a lot of different... I'd like out, please. Figure this out and figure it out with me being on another team by the time
can't
we start
that,
this.
No.
I know he's not going to do that because that's not who Kirk Cousins is. Mm-hmm. This is how bad teams stay bad. This is how bad organizations stay bad, by being dumb to this degree.
They are talked about more than any other team the next morning. It's not that, okay, the Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams. That's not even the conversation this morning is all about the Atlanta Falcons.
Michael Penix is a risky pick if you just took him for all the reasons we laid out.
Let alone
top 10.
Let alone they just gave the other guy $100 million a month ago. Awesome. I love the draft. I never thought I'd say that. I like that part of the draft. Hey, he's got great hands and quick feet and slow hips. I don't care about that. I care about what the hell did they just do? That's what the Falcons did. Factor Caps coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Rotolo Chevrolet, 13 years in a row, Slee. 13 years in a row. That's how many times that they've won Dealer of the Year. This is what made my very long drive home yesterday worth it, because I was in my Silverado from Rotolo Chevrolet, and I was relaxed, and I was comfortable, and everything about it is awesome. So it made it a little bit better. And if you've been thinking about looking at a Silverado, if you've been thinking about looking at another Chevy car truck, there's no other place to go other than Rotolo Chevrolet, because they got all the selection. They got all the Silverados, make, model, and color. They got you covered on that. Price, they're going to give you the great price, right? But the customer service, only at Rotolo Chevrolet. 13 years in a row, Dealer of the Year, by taking care of you, by making sure you feel good about it, that you know exactly what's going on, from financing through everything else. You're going to feel good about your purchase at Rotolo Chevrolet. So if you've been thinking about it, get yourself out to Rotolo. Right off the 210 freeway, Sierra Avenue exit. You can't miss it. Or if Fontana's maybe a little bit out of your range, how about you go online, rotolochevy.com, R-O-T-O-L-O, rotolochevy.com, and tell them that Travis sent you.
Hey, aloha.
Aloha.
I'm still thinking about
aloha
challengers. And I was telling Jorge this. My eyes hurt so bad this morning, but it's because I did not blink once watching this movie, I felt like. My eyes were just glued to the screen. So that's how excited. If you are interested in my full review of Challengers with a lot of more detail that I can't really share on air in terms of discussions of things.
Letterboxd
at E Hebel, E-H-Y-B-L. So that's where you can go. All right. So this video surfaced this morning of a restaurant in the Charlotte area. Okay. So a restaurant in the Charlotte area put up the sign that says, let the GM and coach make the pick. So clearly that's at David Tepper, and David Tepper having too much involvement in who they pick like in the draft.
Usually where it says specials.
Yes.
$9.99.
Fish and chips, $9.99.
Yeah. And you can see it from the road.
That's what
and
they used.
How good is fish and chips, by the
pretty
way?
Good. Not good. Not good.
You love seafood.
Yeah, I'm with Greg.
I'm on the other side. But regardless, you can see it from the road. It was going kind of viral. And so David Tepper decided to make an appearance at this said restaurant. And not...
What a clown.
He just kind of... Not like physically intimidated, but he just showed his dominance over a worker there. Not only did he like kind of approach him, kind of wiggle him into a weird position, but he took the hat off of this worker's head, and then the worker just put it.
There's
right
no
back
audio
on.
Of it, right?
There's I faint. Just saw audio. The
video. It's hard to hear.
It's faint audio.
There is audio, but okay. It's hard to hear.
Because CCTV footage. Regardless, you never touch another man's hat. In terms of, like, if it falls off its head, you can give it to him. You're not taking another man's hat off of his head. Travis, fact or cat?
Fact. I'm not touching another person for any reason other than in a friendly way. Like, you meet somebody, you shake their hand. You see somebody you know, you pat them on the back. Maybe you give them a hug. You know, it's... If there's
like when I see you and I'm like, hey, great show, and I slap you on the ass.
Fine.
See, that's okay. That's totally fine.
Yeah. If there is something that is even moderately stressful,
he might like it.
Moderately, even a little bit, and you touch me, it goes through the roof.
Yeah.
And it could be as simple as just taking your hat. It doesn't have to be a shove. It doesn't have to be a punch.
Sure.
If we're having a moment, don't touch me.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's exactly what he did. So a fact, 100%.
Berg?
Yeah, big time fact. There's no reason for me to touch any other person that I don't know. And especially like Jorge's wearing a hat right now. I'm never going to walk up to Jorge and his hat off his head.
Right.
You get the hell out of here. Like that's actually something that annoys me. Riley does that to me all the time. She takes me. I'm like, give me my hat back. Stop. It's annoying.
I could see Morales pulling this move, just showing his dominance by taking another man's hat off.
But again, it's Chris wouldn't do it to a stranger.
Absolutely
he would not.
Chris wouldn't
would
do
not.
It. He would do it to one of us because Chris is comfortable with us. We're comfortable with him, but he would not. If Chris were in line at Starbucks downstairs.
Even if he had an altercation with somebody.
No,
in line.
Chris might get in a fight, but he's not just taking a hat off somebody's head.
I don't think Chris is getting a fight.
And probably not, but I would be more surprised than, hey, I got in a fight, than, well, how'd the fight start? Well, I took his hat off his head to start.
Randomly decided to take his hat off to show my dominance. Yeah, that's not happening.
Al?
It's fact. I mean, I don't even know how much I could even
it's
add
ridiculous.
To this, but watching the video of him doing it to the employee that's there at the restaurant, I just kind of sit there to myself. I'm like, what'd I do in that situation? I don't know who the hell this guy is.
It's a good question.
This
I like that
dude,
he put the hat right back on.
This dude, yeah, but even he was... Didn't kind of really know what to do.
He didn't.
I
agree with you.
The whole thing.
Yeah. You could tell he was exceptionally uncomfortable
in
that confrontation.
I wouldn't be shocked, especially if I don't like that owner. I wouldn't be shocked. Also, saying, "Don't freaking touch me."
Yes.
You know, like to escalate things.
I'm
not
surprised
because
the
you
hand didn't come
escalate
up like,
things.
As it was coming in.
Yeah, as it's coming. Yeah. I'm knocking your hand away.
Yeah.
And again, this is not.
I don't
David
know anything
Tepper's...
about the owner. All I know about that owner is this, and I know the stupid beer thing that went on in the suite, like. What a piece of...
He was the one that didn't want to hire Bill Belichick because he likes to go through the analytics of the play calls of the head coach, and he felt that Bill Belichick might not like that, as opposed to, hey, that guy won 6 Super Bowls. Like, he's a dope. He's a complete dope.
Brass male anatomy on his desk.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that real?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you know who this guy is.
I don't know if there is a million Carolina Panther fans in and around Los Angeles, but if you are listening to us, you're doomed.
Yeah.
With this guy as your owner. You are absolutely doomed because all of these maneuvers, whether it's that, whether it's the beer from the luxury box, walking into a restaurant, dude, drive by. Just keep it moving.
Yeah.
Like, this is what he feels he needs to react to. You're doomed.
Yeah,
that team's going to be bad forever.
Dumbass.
Jorge, what do you think?
Fact. I would never take a guy's hat off unless he's in the soccer pitch, and I'll take a red card for it.
100% on that. 100%.
All right, so Brian Thomas Jr. was drafted by the Jaguars last night. And, you know, one thing that they do for the draft is they go around and they ask the parents, you know, tell us a little bit about your family. Like, how did your son get to be where he is today, et cetera? So Laura Rutledge went up to Sandra Thomas Jr. and kind of just had this, like, very typical conversation with her. So this is the interaction between Laura Rutledge and Sandra Thomas.
Sandra, how far has this family come?
We came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
When you think about the journey that you've been on together, what does tonight mean to you?
It means the world. It's amazing. I'm so grateful to God, so happy for him. We are so proud of him.
It is amazing.
It's pretty great.
It's just, again, it's not, no, it's no one terrific. Did anything bad. It's just that
she's it was so very genuine.
Literal.
It's
very literal.
It's not even, it's literal.
What's wrong with this?
So, okay, well, okay.
Greg, how far have you come in your life? I came from Culver City.
Yeah,
I get it. She took it literally. All right, what's the question? I get why it's funny.
This is the statement. It's funny. This is a great response from Sandra, and an even better recovery from Laura Rutledge.
Yeah,
Berg Petrocap.
Fact. Oh, it was great. It was a great response. It's funny, but you know, like she's nervous. She's with her family. She's seeing her son do all this. She made a mistake. She took it too literal.
We're not making fun of her in terms of.
Exactly.
I just don't. Yeah.
It's just a funny response.
It is a funny response.
It's fact, and you said it. The literal piece of it, right? She is, and again, nobody is. When you're in a moment like that, it's that stage. You got so many things running through your mind, and I want to answer that. Next time somebody says, you know, hey, how did you get to where you got to? I'm like, oh well,
I drove.
I took the 210 West and exited Lake Avenue
West, which connects to the 805.
Just took it literal,
and then I kept coming up.
I'm with these guys. In fact, she was nervous, and she took a metaphorical question and answered it literally, and it was wonderful. All the credit to Laura Rutledge. Right. Like the second part of your question, I think, is a really good part of it, because she realized, okay, she took ownership of the fact that she left at least a little small lane to be taken literal. The second question is the same question as the first one, just asked in a way that it can't be taken literally. Sure. So credit to Laura Rutledge, who I really
like. One of the best in the biz.
Yeah. She did a great job.
If you ask me, I came from Mexico City, got on the 5, and ended up in the West Covina area, and now I'm here.
We came from Baton Rouge.
It's wonderful.
And she has to also say, like,
sweet.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana, too. Like, we don't know.
So Baton Rouge, Baton France.
Shouts out to Sandra, and congratulations on Brian getting drafted. So, last night, on one of the many things that was taken from the Lakers-Nuggets game, but there was a very close shot close-up of Jamal Murray talking on the sidelines, on the bench. I guess it was in a timeout. And in the timeout, he's taking a sip out of his, you know, Gatorade bottle. And he says, what is this? Is this tap water? And he's just, like, disgusted by tap water being in his Gatorade bottle because he usually had their electrolytes, whatever else things. So I just relate to Jamal so much there because I can tell the difference between waters, and I don't want tap water if I don't want tap water, right? So you can tell the difference between brands of water. Al, factor cap. And between tap and brands of water.
Cap on brands of water, fact on tap water and water. So go to a restaurant, right? And if you just say, I just want some ice water. Right, and there's some it's just you could tell it's filtered or something along those lines where it's like, okay, perfect, that's great water. There's others where I'm like, I can't drink that. Like, I don't know what the hell that is, but I can definitely taste the difference between the two. But if you said, give me Arrowhead versus
Dasani.
Whatever
versus Evian,
I'm not the guy.
Evian is the right choice, by the way.
I can't
Trev.
Arrowhead is terrible.
I drink tap water every day, so I'm okay with tap water. I know that's not the question. I can
do you go
rank
to the hose.
I can
like while you're washing the car.
When I was the kid, we drank out of the hose every day. We drank
soccer practice
straight from the
sprinklers
spigot.
Would come on.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm going
drink
down.
From it every. It didn't matter. We had that. A thing in our backyard, like where you'd connect the hose to the spigot. That even in the middle of summer in Arcadia, where it was 100 degrees for 2.5-3 months. The water came out of the ground. It was 40 degrees. It was like it'd been through a refrigerator. It was wonderful. I couldn't do a blind taste test and tell you that's Aquafina, that's Arrowhead, that's Dasani, that's Evian. I couldn't do that. If you walked me into a store and told me which one I want to pick, I could tell you, here's my first choice, second, third, mm-hmm. and fourth. I don't know if it's marketing or whatever. Evian is not the right answer. The right answer is Aquafina, but yes, I can do that.
Oh, my God. Aquafina?
Yes.
Yeah. Wild. Smart yes. water, by the way.
I don't even understand. The disgusting. Anger, I don't even understand.
No, it
tastes like water.
I don't remember which
no,
one.
No, it doesn't.
From
they
the
taste
cap.
Different.
I don't even know the difference.
The statement is that you can tell the difference between waters.
Yes. So, yes, I can tell the difference between waters. I can definitely tell the difference between tap water and bottled water, and I can tell the difference between Arrowhead and Smart Water. Like, they have different flavors. Mm-hmm. They do taste absolutely
in
different.
In a blind taste test, you can
if
do
you,
it?
If you put Arrowhead in one bottle and Smart Water in another cup, I can tell you the difference between the two of them. 100%. Arrowhead
if
tastes
I gave you
gross.
If I gave you five.
One from a spring.
We have to do this.
I know. I was going to say, if I give you five cups of water.
Am I would
probably you could tell me which one is the Smart Water, which one's the Arrowhead, which one's the Aquafina, which
that,
one's
no,
the
no, Sunny. Not that many. No not way. That many. If it was three, I could probably give you Tap, Arrowhead, and Smart Water.
Right, we're gonna have to do this at some
point. That's fine. I think I can do that, but I can't. If you give me five, I can't do like Aquafina.
You're not a sommelier of bottled water.
No, absolutely not. But I can't. There is a difference to the flavor. Like Smart Water has like a soft feel.
It's got a slick.
Yes,
you're right about that. It's yes. But it's not a taste. It's a feel.
It's a feel.
Yeah.
And Arrowhead doesn't taste good. It tastes like
I'm
dirt.
Okay with Arrowhead. It's like not water. My top choice, yeah. But it's okay.
Speaking of water sommeliers, rabbit holes. There is a water sommelier on TikTok who breaks down all the different waters. Like, go to Erewhon, where they have the crazy expensive water, and just like tell you what its equivalency is.
There's water cool. That's like $10.
Yeah,
not in my house.
John has the
yeah. So Jorge, what do you think about this statement too?
Yeah, I can't tell the difference between water, but I think Fiji and Arrowhead are the worst ones to drink. Smart Water's up there. I forget the other. Whatever. Yeah
John has the one that's like
the volcanic one.
The volcanic one, yeah. Like.
He orders
it. Is it the BLK water,
put
the black
down.
Water?
We need
no.
to ask.
No,
about
he would guarantees you can tell the difference.
There's Icelandic water, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
The Dodgers got very lucky yesterday in one very specific regard that we're not holding a day of mourning here amongst Dodger fans.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking
That's
about.
That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. I think this is funny. I think. It's also not even a little bit funny.
It's funny, but it's not funny.
An inch away from us talking about a tragedy yesterday at the Dodger National game.
Oh.
Well, it's Yoshinobu, only funny because of what he said.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto missed getting his face caved in by a line drive by 2 inches.
Mm-hmm.
That, and by the way, he made a great catch. Yeah, I guess that's one way of looking
his
at it.
His glove got up somehow.
The glove was in the right spot when the ball decided to attack his face. That ball was hit so hard. He's on one leg. He's bent over to the side. That ball was smoked.
Yep.
And if
I think
he
105
if
was
he
it?
Misses it, it hits him square in the face. Square in the face. And we're sitting here talking about, do you put up a pitching screen? Do you know, we're talking about a tragedy. Instead, it's, dude, did you see that? That was amazing.
And he went into the dugout and said, I almost died.
Yeah, that's the part that I was going to say. The only part that also added some humor to it is Dave Roberts said, he said he almost died, so that was pretty funny.
because it happened and nothing happened?
Nothing happened, and he made
okay
a joke about
it.
Like, if Yamamoto would have said something to the effect of, I can't
believe
in all my yeah,
I don't think I can
years.
Ever go back out there.
Yeah.
Right. I got PTSD. I can never go back out there. Because it looked like something out of the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
It was where he contorted his body in this bizarre way, as opposed to the Dodgers are going to sew little black number 18s on their sleeve in memory of Yamamoto, who lasted less than two months as a Dodger pitcher. But it was terrifying.
It was.
It was terrifying. And, by the way, he had his best outing as a major league pitcher.
The best of all time.
It was crazy.
Would you give him the gold glove right now just for that play?
No, you don't get a gold glove for getting lucky.
Right.
That's one of the worst.
I mean, it's a pretty big play.
One of the worst things. I don't think anybody's going to argue this, but I remember this was a while ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago. Those balls hit into the outfield that are right in between. And you got your right fielder and your center fielder, your left fielder and your center fielder. And I remember this.
I hate those.
I'm trying to think which one it was. For some reason, I'm thinking, was it the Mets? But there was this a time ago, both dove.
Yeah.
Oh.
They kind of hit shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah. Head.
Yeah,
one hit. Those are awful. In the baseball world, you got a batter that's at the plate. Something comes in. You know, obviously somebody gets hit. Like you're talking about Yamamoto situation. The one's coming back. I mean, how many times does a pitch come inside and the bat just breaks up in X amount of pieces and just splinters going everywhere? I hate all that.
It's terrifying. And then, quite frankly, like he does go back out and he was dealing. Like
yeah,
he
was.
We were
it
talking.
Didn't affect him.
I thought. Where he is in his progression as a major leaguer is really interesting to me because I'm not at all surprised that he's had some bumpy starts. I'm not at all surprised that there's been some days where he's looked really good because this is a brand new league. It's the best league in the world. He's pitching on a different schedule. He's pitching with a different baseball to hitters he's never faced before, with teammates he's never – like there's a lot of variables.
Never been to any of these places, going to ballparks for the first time, living in the United States, everything.
All of that. So that it's up and down is not a surprise. I would have thought that if you're being super optimistic about, hey, when can you expect him to start to really figure it out and be the ace that he was in Japan? Maybe halfway through the year.
All-star break.
Yeah, you know, July-ish, right in there. If you're being more realistic, a year. Like, give him a year. He's 25 years old. It's not like he's 35 years old. He's still a young athlete. So give him a year, and if by the end of the year it's like, okay, he's finally starting to hit his stride, great. He's kind of starting to figure it out in about a month and a half.
He's
like, that's way ahead of the curve.
He's missing a lot of bats, which is a huge thing for him. This against
he's striking out 30% of the guys he faces.
I think his six starts, three of them have zero runs.
Yeah,
it's only the only ones he's really given up runs is to the Padres, and that's another one. I think to the Mets, he gave up a couple runs possibly.
He's struggled against the Mets a little bit.
Yeah, but besides that, he's been clean for the
starting
most
to get
part.
More control too. Yeah. I think they were talking about just his pinpoint accuracy.
Okay, his fastball, he's landing his pitches at a really impressive rate with the exception of his fastball, and that's the one that they're killing him on.
Well, if you take the last
off-speed stuff is amazing.
Yeah.
If you take what you just said about Yamamoto and you feel like he's ahead of schedule, think about, you know, because there was a point, I think, early in the season, which is fair. The Dodgers are going to get scrutinized every single day because they're the Dodgers, and you went and spent $1.3 billion, and you're supposed to win and all that. How great has Shohei been?
He's been as good as you could ask for.
Yeah.
And Yamamoto starting to I like the way you put it, he feels like he's ahead of schedule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So whatever nerves
Glasnow's
were still in April.
He looks great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They did a thing over the last couple of nights that I thought was pretty interesting. And again, the Nats actually are a little bit better than I think people thought they would be at this point. They're on the right side of 500. But anyway, on Wednesday, they had 20 hits. Clubbed, you know, Ohtani had three doubles. Will Smith had four hits. They had 20 hits.
Lux had a few.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, Will Smith has hit four hits three times this year.
I know. It's crazy.
Three times.
So you got a 20-hit game where you just bomb the other guys out. And then yesterday you have a pitcher's duel and they win both ways. Like it just kind of shows that if we're on offense, you're going to deal with this. But even on a day when maybe your best guy's going and we're not going to get 20 hits or even 10 or 12, we got a guy that's just going to give up zeros all day long. That's you usually don't get both of those things.
Yeah.
And it still does. This series, they look pretty darn good, but it still doesn't feel like they've found their footing. And they're going to, like when Oral called in the other day, he said, guys, they're going to lose 50 games. That means they're going to win 110 if that's just the way it goes. They had a bad week. And it's a bad week, but they responded by winning the next three.
This weekend in Toronto is going to show a lot.
Yeah, Toronto's better.
Toronto's better. They have a good lineup. They're not playing
Arizona,
very
Atlanta
well.
After that.
Yeah. So this week coming up, that's going to show a lot about this team because they're going to face like a really high level teams.
Again, I think the overreaction. It's okay. Like I get it. I get where the overreaction comes. It comes because it's such a good team.
Yep.
They're supposed to be such a good team. So if you have a week or a homestand like they did, where would they go 3-6 in that homestand?
Yeah, they lost three or four series.
It's okay to also say you're right. The world's not going to end, but it's also okay to be like, all right, when are you guys going to get going?
They're
going
to start shopping in the bullpen aisle of their local grocery store pretty soon. That's the one thing that I think I could probably tighten that up a little bit.
Sushi back?
You want it all now? Are you coming to my side? You want it all?
Tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow. That's right, the 27th.
It's tomorrow. Although, I found a new place.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And it's good, but it's further away, but it's a little bit better. And it's the same price or close enough.
Yeah, but now you start taking the gas prices, and you're going to end up at Albertsons.
It's 5 minutes from my house.
Albertsons.
You always come home. You always come home, Slee. You always come home. The Lakers got eliminated 3-0 last night. That's next. It's Travis Slee, ESPN.